Grace to you, peace from God the Father through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The foundation for the message this morning comes from the gospel reading from John chapter 14, but these words especially toward Pentecost, where Jesus spoke in verse 26, "But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you." In the name of Jesus, amen. Show of hands. One hand, maybe. It's the most important thing for you to do. Yeah, that's the law. That's as we Christians live as Christians. But what's the most important thing for you to do in the divine service? Listen. Listen. What did God the Holy Spirit, when he was poured out upon you when you were baptized, tell you? That you should remember and be brought up in the Holy Ten Commandments, the Christian Creed, and the Lord's Prayer. What's the first commandment? No other gods before me, before my face. Not that there are any other gods, they're all idols, they all have our name on them. But people make their own idols, their own golden calves, their own whatevers. And then we have the commandment quickly following regarding God's name. Do you remember what that commandment is? You're God in vain. And when do we use God's name rightly? When we pray, praise, and give thanks. And in the divine service, that is what we do in our portion. We pray, praise, and give thanks. And then we learn in the second commandment too what God's name is. Is it just the proper name like George and Cindy and Helen and whatever? No. It is everywhere where God speaks his word. For the name of God and his word are unity. They are never divided. And in fact, when God sends his Son into the world, St. John even brings that to you pointedly in the first chapter of his gospel, where he says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us." Christ Jesus is the living Word of God. When you hear the scriptures being read to you, when you hear the scriptures being taught to you, preached to you, when you receive the body and blood of Jesus in the bread and the wine as God's word declares, you are hearing, you are receiving Jesus, the living word of God. And then there comes the third commandment. What's the third commandment? Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. And what is it then that we do on the Sabbath day? Gladly hear and learn God's word. Hold it sacred and gladly hear and learn God's word. It has been in your hearing since your baptism. It has been in your hearing all of the years that you have grown up. It has been in your hearing and in your hearts and your faith burning brightly because you are here this morning to gladly hear and learn God's word through which you receive all of the gifts of Christ. The forgiveness of your sins, the Holy Spirit, faith, the promise of eternal life, the gift of God's kingdom, the power and strength of God in your life to face any trouble and any tribulation there is, because there are none of them that can ever separate you from the love of God in Christ Jesus your Lord, not even your death. When we speak about all of these things, dear Christian friends, we are speaking about God the Holy Spirit. Somebody once said, you're Lutherans, you don't have much of a theology of the Holy Spirit. You don't talk about the Holy Spirit very much, do you? We talk about the Spirit all the time. You can't breathe a word in the church of the living God, not a faithful church anyway, where any other word is spoken except the word of God, the Holy Spirit himself. Christ sent him for you. For a really, really big reason. How did you find out about the commandments? How did you find out about the Christian creed? How did you find out about the Lord's Prayer? How did you find out where that came from? How did you find out that Jesus was your Savior? That he was incarnate? We're going to confess it right after the message. How did you find out about he was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man for you? How did you find out that he went to the cross and bled your sins away in that ugly, horrible death of his on the cross, but he did it for you to reconcile you to God? How did you find out about that? Jesus said in the text, the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things. Guess who put that there in your minds and in your hearts? Not without the Holy Spirit did your mom and dad do that, or your grandmother or grandfather, or your pastor or your teacher. Why did Jesus send the Holy Spirit? Christ Jesus went to the cross for you. He forgave your sins at the cross for you. He reconciled the world to God. He is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. God is at peace with the world. If the world doesn't know it, it's because they weren't listening. Because the word has been going forth for well over 2,000 years since the birthday of the church. That's why the Holy Spirit was sent forth. Because if he wasn't, if he didn't inspire the holy writers, how would anybody ever know about any of this? Jesus' death would have been in vain. The resurrection would have been in vain if nobody could ever find out about it, if nobody ever knew it. Somebody came up to you or to me today and they said, are you looking for the treasure? And our response might be, what are you talking about? What treasure? I don't know about any treasure. The treasure, of course, you're looking for the treasure. I don't know about any treasure. Well, I don't know either. But there must be a treasure someplace. I mean, it's nonsense. Who would ever go and look for Christ? Hey, do you believe in Jesus? Who? Never heard of him. Huh? Well, you know what? I never have either. In fact, the Word of God will tell you that nobody would even come up with this on their own. Nobody would come up with this. How would you even know there was a God? How would you even know who the true God is if the Holy Spirit didn't inspire the holy writers to tell you about it? And he has done that since the beginning. He inspired Moses from the very beginning. Moses wrote of Jesus. Jesus said that. Moses wrote of me. Why didn't you believe Moses? Moses said there was a coming Redeemer. Moses said the Redeemer would save you from the law, from all of the sacrifices, from all of the blood of animals and all of that stuff. I gave you, God said, all of that to keep you mindful of the need for a Savior that he was promised you. I promised him, God said. I said I would put enmity between you and the woman. I said I would send my son. I promised you. I set a covenant with you. I am your God. You are my people. I am your Redeemer. I will forgive your sins. It's throughout the writings of Moses. If the people didn't get it, it was because they weren't. What's the most important thing for you to do in a divine service? Listen. Listen. There's a hymn in there. I don't know if I'll ever use it here because I'm not as good as some are. Listen, listen, God is calling. Listen, because he calls you through his Spirit. That's what Holy Spirit does. Remember it in your catechism? He calls, gathers, lightens, and sanctifies the whole Christian church on earth and keeps it with Jesus Christ in the one true faith. And how does he do that? By his precious word. And by his visible word in baptism. God's word connected with the water, it is a baptism. That is a gracious water of life to you and a washing of regeneration and renewal in the Holy Spirit for you, which God shed on us abundantly through Christ Jesus our Lord, that being justified by his grace, you, me, the world could become heirs according to the hope of everlasting life. And in the bread and wine of our Lord's Supper, to eat and to drink the very body and blood of Christ, in the bread and wine, it's just bread and wine, just a little sip of wine, it's just a little piece of bread. No, it isn't. It is connected with the Word of God. And with the Word of God, it is a sacrament where you receive exactly what the words and promises of God declare. The very body which procured your redemption upon the cross, the very blood of Jesus which washed away your sins. It is there for you to relate you and to unite you with the triune God. You, flesh and blood, relation with the triune God. Why do you receive that? Why do you know that? Why do you have that? Because on the day of Pentecost, God poured out his Holy Spirit, so that the world might know that Jesus, crucified, died, risen, and ascended, was for you. People say, well, you celebrate this Pentecost today. Yeah. Well, I don't hear any rushing wind. I don't see any tongues of fire on anybody. I've been to churches around all my life. I've never seen that. What's wrong with them? They're not listening to the Spirit of God speak. For where the Word of God is rightly, purely preached and taught, and where the sacraments that Christ instituted are delivered to the people according to Christ's word of institution, that is where you hear the sound of the mighty rushing wind. It's a rushing wind that takes over everyone as they hear those precious words. You are forgiven of all of your sins. Yeah, pastor's voice. God's word, his Spirit, his mighty rushing wind. From the pulpit, purely preaching and teaching the word of God. Because if you foul it up and intermix your own word and your own take on things, that's not the pure word of God anymore. Then you got something else mixed in with it. And God didn't pour out his Holy Spirit so that we could put our spin on it and our take on it, but that you could receive exactly what God's word says you will receive, the forgiveness of all of your sins, pardon and peace with God, you and God reconciled forever. God is already pleased with you. There is nothing you have to do. There is no kind of life you have to live. There is no getting your life cleaned up. God is already pleased with you in Christ Jesus. The world doesn't listen. And to make things worse, the devil is always there with his lying and murdering day and night, which will let you have no peace within or without. And he thinks he has a better word of God. And he throws that out there and people say, wow, I must have a better word of God too. And they listen to the voice of the devil and they listen to their own head and they listen to their own heart and they think they have as good a word of God as anybody has. How does that help them? There is only one helper. He is the third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit of God, who was sent by God, proceeding from the Father and the Son, to bring you the pure Word of God and the sacraments, the ones that Christ gave him there. He doesn't have a better word. He has God's word. Jesus didn't have a better word. He said, on several occasions. I do not glorify myself. I glorify my Father. The word that I speak to you is the word of my Father. You have it right. And the Spirit is your assurance and your guarantee. So when you hear Jesus took all your sins into himself, went to the cross and bled and died for your sins, and all of your sins are washed away in his blood, you are forgiven. You have peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. You have it. You have exactly what those words and promises declare. When the Word of God says you are redeemed and saved from sin, you have victory over the grave, you have victory over the devil, and you will not be lost forever, damned to hell. But through faith in Jesus, you will be saved. You can trust those words because they are right out of God's Word. And it is important to know God's Word as the Spirit gave it. Because I tell you, if you do not know that truth, you will not tell the difference between that and error. I heard a fellow some time ago say, you know what the Bible says? He says, you know, the Lord helps those that help themselves. Really? That's not God's word. That's poor Richard's almanac. God doesn't say the Lord helps those that help themselves. God says he will send the helper to you. And how does he do that? By his word and his sacraments. Not by poor Richard's almanac. I asked the question one time of someone. What three languages was the inscription above Jesus upon the cross written? And the fellow proudly said, Greek, Hebrew, and German. I wonder what Bible he was remembering. Greek, Hebrew, and Latin, yes. I know many folks, perhaps you do too, who they were confirmed in the Word. The Spirit spoke to them through the mouth and the teaching of their pastor. Oh, we had to memorize God's Word. We had to memorize those commandments that I was asking you about. You remembered them. And the creed, and the explanation, and baptism and communion, and confession and absolution, and the Christian questions and their answers. You had to know that. Thanks be to God. Because by the work and the mouth of your pastor at that point in time, the Holy Spirit put it inside of you. Thanks be to God. He put it there for you so that you would have it when you needed it. And it was taught to you when you were young, just like the psalmist said. Teach it to the kids while they're little, and when they're old, they will not fall away from it. Jesus said it. Keep on continuing in my word. Keep on doing it. Otherwise, you're going to lose it. If you don't lose it, you lose it. Moses' face shining when he came from the mountain of God was a good example of that. Moses' face shined. Wow, really freaked the people out. They said, you've been with God, you know, and Moses had to put the veil on his face. You know what happened in a little while after Moses came down from the mountain and he wasn't face to face with God anymore? His face stopped shining. It went away. What didn't go away? God's word and promises never went away. Write them on the doorpost of your house. Put them on the frontlets of your helmet. You know, write them on your foreheads, on your wrists. Talk about them when you sit down to eat at night. Teach these things to your children. They were to be all-consuming. Gladly hear and learn God's word. God's word is the topic of conversation. That's the mighty rushing wind, the sound of it. That's where the tongues of fire are at, because you're hearing in your own language the wonderful works of God. And then came the day of confirmation, and the Bibles were closed, and the catechisms were closed, and they were put on the bookshelf because, oh boy, we're done with that. Now we can get on with some important stuff. And did the glory fade? Do you remember it as well today as you did then? Because the time is coming when you're going to need it. Maybe there have been many times when you've needed it. When there was a chance to make the good confession. And suddenly your mind was a blank. When there was a time when things were not so right with you. There were emotional upsetments. There were discouragements. There was an illness, an accident, or at the point of death. Your mind was kind of blank at that point in time. And you wished you could remember. And you wished you could grab your catechism again. You wished you could grab your Bible and turn to those passages like your confirmation verse. And hear again the sound of the mighty rushing wind as the tongue of fire came out in words of your own language that you could hear and understand. And it's especially at those times when illness or accident or discouragements come up that you need these words of God. Jesus said in the text at those times, don't worry about what you will say, because the Holy Spirit will bring to your mind those things. But the Spirit cannot bring to your mind the things that you have not put there to begin with. The Holy Spirit cannot bring to your mind the things that you've closed up and put on a shelf. What if when the call goes out, Pastor, please come to the hospital, and he can't make it there in time, no matter how close he lives? Dear friends in Christ, God poured out the Holy Spirit for you so that you might hear His word. And as we pray in the prayer, to read it, to mark it, to learn it, to inwardly digest it, that by patience and the comfort of God's holy word, we might embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life. Pentecost, dear friends, is for you. The sound of the mighty rushing wind of the Word of God's Spirit coming to you by His Word and by His sacraments was for you so that you might live in God's kingdom forever and ever and serve Him in righteousness, innocence, and blessedness for eternity. The joy of Pentecost is to be able to gather as the people of God in remembrance of His mercy, and to hear again, all your sins are forgiven. To hear the mighty works of Jesus for you. To hear of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. To remember and renew your baptism in daily repentance. Drowning the old Adam so that the new man in Christ, energized by the Holy Spirit and in His power, you can live before Him in righteousness. And when you need strengthening along the way to be able to come here and eat and drink the body and blood of Christ to your life and your heart's content, dear friends, it is all for you. For Jesus promised, I will send the Helper, whom my Father will send in my name. He has taught you all things And you got much more to learn. Take notes on your new pastor's messages. Make it to the Bible class so that the Holy Spirit can bring to your remembrance everything that Jesus earned for you by his death and resurrection. May God grant it for Jesus' sake. Amen.